Blog Talk Radio.
You're broken down and tired. I'm living life on the face of the house. You're broken down and tired. But I see you, so we don't walk it out. We don't walk it out.
A thousand times again. I'm just blessed to be able to say it one more time. Good afternoon, good evening, and hello to all of you folks across the country and around the world. And boy, we got a doozy for you today as we wake up. But I tell you what, if we didn't have Dr. Clark over here making some sense out of what some of the things that are going on inside of us, it might be a very, very more challenging day than we are prepared for. So we are glad that she is joining us today so that we can sort this stuff out. Good morning, Dr. Clark.
Good morning, Dr. Brown. How are you today, and how are all of our listeners doing out there? Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Well, we are challenged today as we are each and every day. And those of you who think that the grass is greener on the other side because some people make it look easy, I'm here to tell you, that's what they're doing. They're making it look easy, okay? Dr. Clark, I gotta throw this one out here first because of the next show that's going to be coming up, which is centered around the right to life choice. Yeah, folks, y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, I have a position. I don't want to debate it with folks, but I'm not going to hide from where I'm coming from because my very, very first mentor was a person that I saw on TV. I never had a chance to talk to him face-to-face, but it was Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King, and the statement that he made, I would rather die for something than live for nothing. That's about making choices and live with it. When I was in Vietnam and I saw a young man decide that he wanted to try to save the rest of us, and he dived on a grenade. Yeah. But this one here that we're talking about, I think is just as challenging because at the end of the day, if a woman decides that she is going to carry her pregnancy full term, is it her choice? God's choice, God influencer. I don't know where this show is going to go, but Dr. Clark, this has been a topic that's been kind of building over the last week, and we're just hoping that you can help put some sanity to this ever-growing question. Who
well,
has
you know,
the right?
I do my best to avoid highly charged and decisions and political conversations because people get really, really worked up about them. And it seems like it's those that get worked up about it who have not been in those situations that they are talking about.
Ooh.
Or that they're making these decisions about. So when it comes to a woman's choice with her body, who else's decision is it but hers as to what happens with her body? Men have choices with their bodies. They have the choice to accept their bodies as they are. They have the choice to exercise their bodies. They have the choice. Excuse the trash man out there. They have the choice whether or not they want to get tattoos. You know, men have choices with their bodies as well. But because the woman's body is the body that has been chosen by creation to give life, then now everyone has to give some feedback on that. And so for me, it remains a woman's choice. Because what our society fails to realize is that most women who find themselves in that situation to make that decision, it's not a decision that they just wake up with one morning and as if they're just deciding what they're going to wear that day and say, oh, I think I'm just going to go and end this life. We never know what has gone through their minds and what led them to that decision. Has this woman been assaulted? Is it that the quality of life for the life they're bringing in is not going, you know, to be well? We don't know why these decisions are being made. Or is this decision being made just being after a night of just having a good time and drinking and doing all those things, and now we have to make those decisions? So there, I think there needs to be some parameters as to how this is used so that it's just not used as a method of someone's birth control because they don't want to be responsible in other ways. But I just strongly feel that it's her choice. And we have to realize that after this choice is made and after that process happens, there's a whole lot that's going on in that young person's or that older person's mind because now they've lost something no matter how much they have wanted that decision or did not want that decision, but felt for whatever reason that decision needed to be made, there is a grieving and loss process that happens. Whether they will ever verbalize it and show any outward expressions of it through the mourning or whether they memorialize it, there is definitely an internal dialogue that's going on. There's definitely some things going on the inside. There's definitely things going on in their mind. And if they're both believers, there's definitely some loss and some guilt and some anger and some bargaining going on relative to where they stand in their spiritual walk. And so it is a topic that has so many components and pieces to it that are not taken into account when these policymakers are making such a decision on someone else's life, that if everyone just kind of stops and really puts themselves in that situation and then ask themselves, what would I do? And we can on the outside say, oh, but I would never do that. But until you actually walk a day in someone else's shoes, we can never say what we can and cannot do and will or will not do. We oftentimes, if we equate that to women who find themselves in domestic violence situations, right, we often say in society from the outside looking in, well, why does she stay there? I would just leave, or I would just need those to work one day. I would just pack everything and leave. It's not that simple. None of these choices are that simple. And so we can sit around the table and have these conversations, and we can sit in Congress and have these conversations, but not until it impacts us does it really start to make sense. And I would even venture to say that some of the policymakers that are finding themselves making these decisions have had themselves or someone in their family who has been faced with this decision, but you'll never know it. And so to be part of the gang and to be accepted in the culture that they are a part of, people will go along with what is in their heart they feel is not right, but because this is where I am and this is what I am expected to do, I'll go along with it. And so believe me, there are some of the policymakers that are sitting around the table that are having this internal struggle every day, but will never have the courage to step up to the plate and ask that their fellow constituents and colleagues just really stop and start to dissect this for really what it is. Dr. Brown.
Wow. You know, folks, as I mentioned often, our shows are not scripted. Dr. Clark had no idea what today's topic was going to be. And sometimes that's a good thing because it's going to be fresh in your mind and you're going to just deal with it as life presents itself. But as a learned colleague, I do know that she'll take the time and study and sometimes restudy things that she has already gone through and experienced professionally as well as in her learning challenges. But for this one here, I think this is a combination of both, if that's a possibility. I salute you for taking that stand. I think you qualified it in the beginning that this is something I usually don't do. But as you folks have always noticed, she doesn't shy away from the challenge when it's being presented. You might not always like exactly what she has to say, and that's okay too because this is about choices, but at least you'll know where people are coming from. I share the same perspective that even as she mentioned the Supreme Court, the decision makers, and that's really where it's going, and the folks that are sitting at that top, a lot of their decisions are based on their research, what has happened before, the impact. But at the end of the day, if they have someone in their family, I'm sure that nudges at them a bit. There is no quick fix to this question, and I'm comfortable leaving it right where it is. But there is one point that I think that she made that I don't think that we as men paid attention to it, because there were two choices that actually had to happen. While hers is the final, but the man actually had a choice as well. Yeah, I won't go deep on that, but it could have started with protection, abstinence, yes, self-check, whatever you want to call it. But the man had a responsibility, okay? While still, I do believe that the final was on her. Let's move on to the rest of this segment because this is really getting to us today. Our show is being brought to you by Flashback Academy. Some of you folks are still asking and trying to figure out what is it or what part you can play. I spent half the night sending out notices to a lot of the veteran groups that are on Facebook and wherever else I could find them and letting them know that there's one particular gentleman, obviously I'm not going to say his name. He's suffering from severe post-traumatic stress disorder. And it got to a point that I had to tell him, I go, you know, you're going to need to find your new carrot, sir, because you're allowing it to consume you. So take a look. And, yes, treatment helps. But from what I'm gathering, find something that is appealing and interesting to you that you can kind of grab into and get involved into something else. So I says, hey, you could become one of the volunteers to help us build Flashback. And you know what he said? Thanks. At least give me I got to call us now. So he has wrote down his information to contact him. As we continue to move forward. But we were really glad that he's found a healthy distraction from dealing with his day-to-day memories of yesterday, because that's really all they are, their memories. And, yes, they were traumatic. I opened up reminding you that there was a young man that I knew extremely well who threw himself on a grenade to save the rest of us in our brigade at the time. And, you know, what the ultimate sacrifice. So, for those of you who need something else to do, Come on and join us. Let's get our veterans off the street as well as our former foster care youth. Find out more about it by writing us at flashbksloc@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to send a donation, just send it to Flashback Academy. Well, Dr. Clark, we've already said a mouthful and we're halfway home. Let's talk about your agenda for today. What phase are we in? 1, 8?
Well, we will definitely only scratch the surface, as we have been dealing with the last few episodes of looking at those 8 dimensions of wellness that we have within us that makes up our total being. We show up in a space and how we live, looking at our physical, our social, financial, environmental, intellectual, emotional, spiritual, our vocational wellness. And as we've been breaking those down over the last few episodes of how they're impacted by grief and loss, I wanted to start to address how our environmental wellness can be impacted by grief and loss. And usually when you hear this, people are like, environment, well, what do you mean? How, you know, what does that mean for your environment to be impacted? And when you look at environmental wellness in its context or in its definition, so to speak, it centers around looking at, it looks at occupying a pleasant and stimulating environment that supports your well-being. So when you start doing research on that, it all goes back into climate change and ecological things and how to, you know, make the environment and nature around you, you know, pleasant and sound for your ability to be able to live and thrive, right? For me, when I'm looking at environmental wellness as it relates to grief and loss, I'm looking at that space that we occupy. Right? And the spaces that we find ourselves in. Because as we're going through this process of grief and loss, there are a couple things that we're trying to protect. We are taking guard and protecting our inner selves, meaning our minds, meaning our hearts, meaning our values, our beliefs. But our external atmosphere and space, we must protect that as well. And so when we're talking about in how our environment may be impacted by grief and loss, we're talking about the place that I live. So am I maintaining a home or atmosphere that can support me as I go through these challenges, right? And our environment might mean looking at who we have in our space. Because we, as we know, everybody cannot be in that space when we are trying to heal ourselves. And so, yes, we must put sort of a cocoon around ourselves so that we can block out those barriers, those things that will come in and start to infiltrate that place of safety. So then now what we know as being safe is no longer a safe place because all these other elements have found themselves into that space. And so environmentally, we must start to do some spring cleaning and try to get those elements out. And sometimes it may mean that protecting our environment might mean disconnecting ourselves from, yes, even some family. We might have to put some distance there until we can bring ourselves to a place where we now have the mental capacity to be able to tolerate. So sometimes we look at, okay, I'm a part of this. This is my family. I've got to let them into my space, and I'm letting them into my home. However, remember, we've got to give ourselves permission as we grieve to do it in our own way and create our own path. And so I have a nursing colleague of mine who she and I, as we were preparing to address healthcare workers in their self-care during the the pandemic with their exhaustion and their feelings of, you know, of loss and being disconnected, she shared with me something that I just thought was totally phenomenal. And it's what they call the hula hoop of responsibility. Even during grief and loss, we find ourselves taking on responsibilities that we really are not responsible for in our efforts to protect and be safe and to still, as we're trying to care for ourselves, care for those around us. But we really don't have responsibilities for certain things. For example, when we are protecting our environment and creating that safety factor, we're not responsible for other people's words. Because we know that sometimes people bring words into our environment that are not okay. And sometimes we cannot be the mediator between what they say. And we're not responsible for other people's mistakes. And so in process of trying to protect ourselves environmentally, we're not responsible for the mishaps of other people that sometimes find itself into our safety net. We're not responsible for other people's beliefs. People will try to infringe and impose their beliefs there by the conversation we just had prior to this one and bring that into our space, and it creates some cracks and it creates some uncertainty in maintaining your safety. Just as we're not responsible for their actions, we're not responsible for others' thoughts or their opinions or even their ideas. And so once we can grab a hold and not have the guilt that we sometimes associate it with, feeling that because of the role that we may have played in the life of the loss that we had, we kind of take on some of these things and we bring them into our space, and our space is no longer a safety net for us, a protective factor for us anymore. As we're, I'm offering, as we go through our grieving process, are to do some spring cleaning. Is this really environmentally okay for me right now? I need to clean out my closet and maybe start preparing something that I need to maybe donate to the Goodwill. So what are some things that we need to get rid of in our environment that's impacting our ability to heal? Dr. Brown?
Spring cleaning. No, we're here. Spring cleaning. Let's define spring cleaning, if you don't mind, Doctor.
Well, you know how we go through these seasons and we say during the springtime, that's when we clean up all the clutter and things around in our space, and we clean it up and we clean it out and we throw out those things that are not serving us anymore, and we get the closets and we get those things out of there and we remove those things that have kind of piled up, and we make room for fresh new things. And so I'm offering that we consider during our process of grief and loss, we have some spring cleaning that may need to happen in our space and some things that need to be cleaned out so that we can be open to receiving the new possibilities and new ways that we need to show up and be first for ourselves in our space before we can show up for someone else in our space.
Well, what if I happen to be a pack rat and I like my stuff? I need everything that I got, and believe it or not, it might look junky when you walk into my room, but I know exactly where everything is at.
We may definitely know where everything is at, and we may think that everything we have we need, which is what makes that whole process of hoarding very difficult to hoarders very difficult to work with, because in their mind they've created this narrative that everything in here I need, I cannot get rid of it, I cannot separate myself from it. But remember, in the process, we accumulate these things with that false narrative. So remember, it takes a mind, a change in our mindset when we get ready to do this process, which is why it is a process.
Then how am I going to know what I need to discard, though, if it all feels important to me?
Sometimes we may not know initially, which is why we have to do it in bite-sized pieces. So it will mean that now I really have to take a self-inventory. The positives of this thing do not outweigh the negative, then that means it's not serving me. If I can't give three solid reasons why this is needed and how it benefits me, that means that I no longer need it. Because it may have benefited me once at some point in time in my life, but everything we have is not designed and created to benefit us for a lifetime. Everything has a season. Everything has an expiration date on it.
Yeah, just kind of like this show here. Our time has been eaten up, but you just hit the nail on the head. That was outstanding. Can you prepare to go ahead and wrap us up while I look for a song of inspiration for us to take on the day?
Going in and out, but I'm thinking that you're ready. We talked about some things that we're not responsible for. I want to leave you with something that we are responsible for. So what is our responsibility? My words, my behavior, my actions, my efforts, my ideas, my boundaries, my healing, my mistakes, and the consequences of my actions are the only things that I'm responsible for as I go through my process of grief and loss and relearning who I am as a person. And so until the next time, give yourself permission, give yourself room to grieve. Talk to you Thursday.
Thank you, Dr. Clark.
Sunlight hurts my eyes. There's something without one love. It's heavy on my mind. When I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day. I know it's gonna be a someday.